It's
first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, when you hear that, I cracked my voice. When you hear that rousing overture of Carmen, you know, it's time to spout off. Here we are back again live and grateful for it on so many levels. Welcome to Spouting Off here at our flagship station on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the Live Free or Die state of New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire. You can be listening live anywhere around the country at www.wsmn.live. Today we have a really great show for you planned, but in this first segment, if you're listening live, and you know a lot of people listen on podcasts, I think it's really interesting. I'm old enough to remember when you didn't get to be your own program director either on television or on radio, and you had to find out when something was playing so you could watch it on television or on listen on radio. Today, everybody is their own program director, and they listen or watch programs when they feel like it. I kind of like the old days where you get to see what's on. Nevertheless, if you are listening live and you want to call in, especially always usually in the first segment, and we are heard here every Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Mountain, et cetera, the number to call is 603-816-1590, 603-816-1590. 1590. We're heard on Facebook and Getter and all kinds of places in the technocracy. And I love listening to the news before I get on the radio because no matter what I have planned to talk about, it is either usually relevant to something I heard in the news or it's so important to talk about what I just heard on the news. I just chuck my notes and go for it. So, in this case, it's a combination of both. I loved that little news spot, if you were listening to the news. Winsome Sears taking on Biden and the Biden administration, telling them that they are gaslighting us on inflation. She says every time you go to the grocery store, that's a poll. Every time you have to pay twice as much for something, anything that is a staple in your life, that's a poll. How about the growing emptiness on the shelves because truckers can't afford even half an empty truck? My husband tells me about that. He trains CDL drivers, and he says that's among the reasons you're already seeing shortages on shelves, but then there are so many other reasons, including things that are so deliberate and so obviously diabolical that it's depressing even to think about or talk about. But I'm going to stay positive because Winsome Sears is just one of several people that is a thorn in the side of the lying left, which controls the Democrat Party. She used the term gaslighting. I have become more and more fascinated, not only with old movies, mind you, because I can't find a lot of good movies that are on today or that are relatively modern. They're like slaughter fests. Just an enormous amount of murder and savagery. And yet the public is pretty much the same Hollywood that puts that stuff out. Yes, I know I'm going down the primrose path, but just for a moment. The same people that put out that constant, it's not just violence, it's you know, the celebration of the millions of ways you can kill people and die and the cheapening of life, and just watch John Wick, which my husband loves. And then that same Hollywood and the left wants to make snowflakes of all of us. We expect everybody, not you and I, mind you, but they expect people to take care of and to protect their precious virgin sensibilities while they watch this kind of violence on television. Not on television, in movies. It's unbelievable. Anyway, yes, I'm raring to go. I'm loaded for bear. One of the great old movies that I'm talking about, and I've really been getting off on things like Sabrina with Audrey Hepburn and on and on, I think we'll have to do a movie show. Like, what are your favorite movies, your escapist movies, your quality movies? What are movies that you really, really love? And we'll have to get you to call in and talk about it, send emails, whatever. What are some of your favorite movies? I have mine, of course. And my tastes do not run, not similar to my husband at all. You know, I put on something, action, adventure, violence, and then I go, you know, read my Kindle or something like that. Anyway, the movie Gaslight characterizes what we're talking about here. And it's a story with Charles Boyer and Ingrid Bergman starring, in which a very, very, very bad guy who actually murdered this opera singer's mother. And it's been 100 years since I've seen it. I haven't watched it lately because it's too painful. We're living it. Is trying on purpose to drive this woman crazy. You know, he keeps doing things to make her question her own sanity. Well, I have been on, I guess you could say, a quest. It is going to be an ongoing topic around here and on some of the other shows that I do, because I talk so much about, and you listeners, you listen to, if you have the curse of awareness, that's what I call it, you know what's going on, you're not buying into the preposterous media propaganda that we see every day, and they always march in lockstep, then you know you are being gaslighted and you ain't buying it. But that is a price. We're living in astonishingly dangerous, deceptive kinds of times. So that doesn't mean we all have to agree on exactly either what's happening or what needs to be done about it. But those people with the curse of awareness know that something ain't right. Something ain't right in America. Something ain't right with these globalists who've been watching too darn much, too many sci-fi B movies in which some bad guy wants to control the world for your own good. So he or she can, it's usually a he, amass power and control and do whatever he wants and make you a slave or a serf or a peasant. America was created to prevent that kind of thing. And now America's under attack with that kind of crazy authoritarian mindset. And yes, we talk about it all the time. My interest, I'm not going to get a chance to go into the superest of details, but I will, is a piece that I just put up and an audio op-ed. I'm going to be doing more of these audio op-eds because you can say more, at least I can, by talking about it than writing about it. It takes me 10 times longer to write a piece than it does to talk about it because I just say what's in my heart and I don't worry about every little word and have to have it edited and have to have, not edited, but proofread because I can't stand typos, etc. So the price of recognizing gaslighting, or just the price people are paying who are woke and who are dealing with inflation and attacks on our culture, attacks on their children's innocence. I could give you a list, but I think you know the list already. The question is, how do you cultivate mental toughness? That's what I'm calling it, mental toughness. And I would love to hear from you on this because it's going to be an ongoing topic that I'm going to want to revisit here and there and whenever it seems relevant, which it's relevant a lot. For example, in my current piece, and you can find the whole thing and you can listen to the audio op-ed by going to my website, KarenKataline.com. Kataline spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Just go to the articles and op-eds column on the front page. Audio op-ed, mental toughness. The idea of preventive medicine isn't new for people. They always, you know, we always talk about, instead of treating illnesses with medicine or surgery once you get sick, how about preventive messages, preventive medicine, eating healthier and recognizing what it takes to keep you strong and healthy. But we never talk about that from the standpoint of mental health. And I contend that the gaslighting is intended to make us question ourselves, to question reality, to question what's true, certainly to question the media that is putting forth false narratives every doggone day. And to top it off, the more there is a false narrative, the more they're going to punish you if you don't accept their version of what is on high the truth. They even use horrid, insulting terms. See, we're not allowed to be snowflakes. Like election denier. That means if you don't accept their version of the truth, and they may be the ones probably who were cheating in the first place, you're not allowed to question that. Now, did anybody, any conservatives ever tell them that they were election deniers when they said that Bush stole the election from Gore? Heck no! Their accusations never apply to them, only to you and me, only to anybody who dares to disagree. So my question is, what are the building blocks of mental toughness and preventive medicine when it comes to what we're dealing with today? I ask a lot of my guests this because it's not a scientific study, but I have found that people I know, or people who know people, that's the scientific standard of the left. Well, I know someone who knows someone. But in this case, I know people whose friends and family, there are people who are just seeming to crack up. There is a higher percentage of depression and suicide, domestic abuse, alcoholism, and drug addiction. That is, as a former recovering mental health professional, happens when people are under stress. They're having trouble coping. They're having trouble dealing with the painful reality, in this case, that America is under attack, that our Constitution is under attack, that the culture, the values, the greatest principles that have made this country great are all being attacked because an ideology hates it, hates America. If you saw Biden's trip to Israel, you saw that Biden covered up the fact that his whole party hates Israel and they hate America as well. That's like the woman some years ago, I wrote a piece about this, who pushed and encouraged a depressed teenager, to go commit suicide. She urged him on. She did time for that. And it was a very controversial case. I think we have a political ideology in this country that is egging people on to destroy their own country, destroy the education of their own children, to go along with pornography on school shelves, even though everybody up until, I don't know, last week thought that movie ratings were a good idea because children underage, children who haven't reached the age of consent, should be protected. All of that's been thrown out the window in order to, quote, help the country commit suicide. Let's not do that, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get mentally tough, shall we? If you have thoughts on this, please write me at Karen@KarenCatalin.com. We've got a terrific guest next. Stay tuned. You're listening to Spouting Off here on 1590 AM, 95.3 FM WSMN. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off Live here on WSMN. I'm your host, your grateful, thrilled, and sometimes cynical host, Karen Cataline. I'm delighted to welcome someone I'm pretty sure I've spoken with before, but we had some technical problems. I'm so glad we got those worked out. Tooey, 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 we don't have any more. And he's with us right now. His name is Christian Watson. He is a spokesperson for a tremendous organization called Color Us United. And he's also the host of Pensive Politics with Christian Watson. You can follow him on Twitter at Official C. Watson. Welcome, Christian Watson, to Spouting Off.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's great. You sound marvelous. Let's start with this piece that my esteemed producer sent me. Biden's menthol ban follows the racist law playbook. This is about the FDA, and let's talk about this first. Go ahead.
Yeah. So during the drug wars of the Nixon days, there was significant social degradation within America, especially within Black communities. And many politicians within those communities saw the source of that degradation as being the rampant drug use in those communities. So what they did is they formed drug panels. And among these people on these drug panels were politicians like Chuck Rangel, who was a notorious advocate for penalizing even possession of marijuana up until, he actually probably still is. And Biden, back in the 90s, followed the same line of thought. If we just punish drug use, will be able to save communities. Well, that's not what happened. What happened actually was you have less fathers in the house because they were arrested for trying to sell drugs. You had a bunch of things that happened. And now what they're trying to do with the menthol ban is kind of similar. They're trying to affect social behavior and values with laws. And I thought, we've already seen this story play out more than once. We already know where this leads. And we already understand that this is not an effective way of getting people to stop bad habits. And yet Biden thinks that he can do so using the playbooks that he used in the 90s. So I think that it's a disturbing prospect for a free society. I think that it's a concern that he hasn't learned very much within the past few decades of being in politics. And I think that it's not going to go over well.
Thank you for that, Christian. I would just say, I don't think Biden does think. I think there are whomevers who are doing the thinking for him. But what's the connection between race and menthol cigarettes? I don't even know. I mean, I'm not a smoker. Well, tell us about that.
A lot of African Americans tend to smoke Newports, if you look at the statistics, and Newport cigarettes are menthol cigarettes. So that's the connection. There is high usage of that kind of stuff within African American populations. And so the idea is, well, if you discourage this kind of behavior through laws, you'll be able to, you know, maybe help prevent some of the health disparities or what have you. But again, we understand why menthol use and tobacco use are all the way down. It is because of years of intense public pressure campaigns launched by anti-smoking groups in the public sphere, not necessarily because government has penalized it with sin taxes and made the cost of cigarettes more expensive. I've seen people pay $50 for a carton of a few cigarettes before. People will pay a lot of money to get to get their hands on this kind of stuff. But we know, but when I was a kid, they used to come to my school and have like a two pair of lungs. One lung is healthy, one is unhealthy, and the unhealthy lung is the result of smoking. And that was enough to scare me into never smoking. I've never smoked anything in my life. So that was enough to scare me. That scared me. I'm like, I don't want my lungs to like that with all the tar and stuff like that. Yeah.
I don't want that. Well, the social engineering is just so, such a good point. It's almost as if they experiment, and I say that word advisedly, on the groups that they claim as mascots, like, oh, we care so much about you, we're going to experiment on you. And there's some evidence to suggest that. So they could do that to the rest of the population and manipulate behavior. But it's so condescending, isn't it? You know, it's like, you're too stupid. Like, you're too stupid to get an ID because the color of your skin might be darker than someone else's. That's preposterous. But yet they do that, and some people buy that. Do you comment? Do you talk about that a lot at Colorists United? The idea that their basic premise that what they call racist is really condescension.
Yes, we do. We talk a lot about it. We talk a lot about how a lot of these, or as I do in my capacity as spokesperson for the group, talk a lot about how a lot of these quote-unquote anti-racist policies are really just redefinitions of basic terms. And those redefinitions happen to be, other than being incorrect, happen also to be gravely insulting to the people that they propose to protect. Right. And that's really something that we have to hammer home. But we also have to hammer home something as well. If it's condescending, it's not by accident. It is by design. It is by design, right? And the point is, when you detach words from their traditional meaning and you make them mean what you want them to mean, that those words will take upon the qualities of what you wanted them to mean. So, for example, let's take Ibram X. Kendi, for example. Ibram X. Kendi said that Ronald Reagan's welfare policies were racist because a lot of Black people happened to be on welfare during the 80s. And Ronald Reagan wanted to cut welfare and transition over to other forms of sort of subsistence. Well, what Kendi didn't mention is that Reagan did not cut welfare because he hated Black people. He wanted people to be self-reliant. He wanted people to use their own skills to preserve themselves as opposed to have the government do it for them. But we've seen in the orthodoxy over the past few decades with LBJ's Great Society, then before that FDR's New Deal, and the Obama stimulus, we have seen this, this sort of progressive tendency to want government dependency everywhere in all cases, because the idea is that the individual themselves is insignificant. But the individual is not insignificant. The individual is the unit of society. The individual is the sort of locus of moral action in society. The individual is what makes society possible. That's not to say that we can all do everything by ourselves. We can't. We have other people who have more skills than us or who have different specialties to help us. Community is important. What I'm saying is, the moment you remove the individual from the equation is the moment you destroy the bedrock of society, and you will have no society without acknowledging the place of the individual.
Oh, that's so well put. So glad you're the spokesperson at Colorists United, because this is part of the propaganda, isn't it? The message is, you're supposed to take as a given that welfare is superior to work. It's implicit. Mm-hmm. They don't even say so. And that It's racist because people should get more welfare. And the whole premise is false. Let's shift gears here, because there's another article that was sent to me, another important piece that you wrote. And it looks like it was published in Newsweek.com. That actually surprises the heck out of me. The title is American Workers Have Attended More Diversity Seminars Than Job Training by Christian Watson. Yep. Talk about that, if you would, about this new poll.
Yeah, so we did some research and we found out that a lot of workers are attending DEI trainings more than they're attending trainings that actually are relevant to the actual functions of their jobs, which is rather concerning because that implies a few things. Number one, it implies that people in management of certain corporations and businesses believe that learning about diversity, equity, and social justice is more important than learning about customer service or employee management, which were the other trainings that were less attended than DEI. But it also shows just how widespread this philosophy and ideology is within the fabric of corporate America. And so ultimately, what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves, you know, what in the world is happening in our country? What in the world is happening in our country to the extent that our businesses are now concerned more with being crowd pleasers as opposed to pleasing people who actually give them money?
Yeah. We've seen that again and again. They're like, they're proxies for the government, proxies for the Democrats. We've seen it with Disney and this atrocious policies to make it totally okay to teach sexual materials to little people, to young people. What do you think? Answer your own question if you can. What do you think?
I don't. Yeah, and so this is part of a broader cultural move. So okay. And I've actually done some personal work on this as well on Pence Politics podcast and the YouTube channel. So the idea of teaching young people things that are traditionally considered not age appropriate is largely tied into this idea of queer theory. And what queer theory is this academic discipline which is doing its best to subvert, in their words, everything that is normal in society, because the normal ideas of society, in their opinion, have oppressed people. They are binds and shackles on people. But what they go further, and they want to use identity as a mechanism for this subversion. And so they go ahead and they try to target children because they believe that children are the ones who are most oppressed by heteronormative
and most gullible, if we can say. Most gullible to accept this. You know,
I agree with your premise, but they would say that the children are actually more enlightened because they're not attuned to all of these different concepts. It's a very deep and dark rabbit hole to go down. I've done extensive work on it. People can find it if they want to. I did an hour-long video essay about it. But this is what is in our schools right now. This is what is being pushed either wittingly or unwittingly by certain people who think they're being good and benevolent. And this is what parents have to look out for. It's not about an individual or an individual disposition. It's about things that are not appropriate for kids in any circumstance being taught to them. That's the distinction that has to be made.
Christian, as usual, I love when things come together. And these two subjects we've talked about, well, at least the last two, about queer theory and all of that, and politics being infiltrating businesses and places that are supposed to be independent of the government. When you were talking about it, it made me think, as if they're doing in businesses exactly what they're doing in schools, which is to subvert the role of the place of business or place of education, and to infiltrate with politics every nook and cranny of our lives. Sadly, that's really, really happening. In our last couple of minutes, Christian Watson, tell us about your organization, what you're doing to counteract at Colorists United, these kinds of really diabolical things that are basically attacks on the fabric of our country and our culture.
Well, absolutely. You know, Color Us United, we are currently going full steam ahead with our campaign against American Express, which has basically inundated their employees in woke policies, whether it be with diversity seminars where they tell their employees that they're racist, whether it be in microaggressions training, whether it be in bringing Khalil Muhammad, the great grandson of Elijah Muhammad, the guy who founded the Nation of Islam, to come and talk about how capitalism is inherently racist. Mm-hmm. We have been exposing all of these discrepancies within American Express's business practices. And we're also going to do so for other corporations and other sort of more general corporate culture as well. That is our focus, to set up a cultural condition that we can challenge these ideas with. Mm-hmm. So what people can do, if they want to know more about us, or they want to help up with our mission, they can go to colorusunited.org. They can either email me. My email is on the contact page of our website, or they can sign up for our mailing list to stay updated for what we're doing.
Excellent. Are you going to go after Disney? I hope.
We have no plans right now, but you know, no one knows what tomorrow will bring. We have no plans right now.
we have a couple minutes, and this is a big question. What I was trying to get at before is why you think that this is being infiltrated. Everybody has an opinion on it, but you know, queer theory. Actually, you did answer it, that this is a subversion of all our culture, using as an excuse these things that most, as Kurt Schlichter calls them, normals, most normals look at that and go, what a minute, 57 genders and I'm a racist if I don't agree? Men can have babies, but I should be censored if I question that? I call that gaslighting. What do you call it?
Well, there's many terms, right? It can be gaslighting. It can be conceptual ignorance. It can be many different things, right? Here's what I think.
What?
Why is it happening is a little bit more different than that it's happening. We know that there's support in the culture, but why are they doing so?
Right.
And I think the answer is more complicated than most people think. The answer is because you have a group of people who genuinely believe, I believe most of them genuinely believe, that they are in a culture that is built upon everything that in their worldview is incorrect and is wrong. And therefore, they have to, it is their duty to correct it by critiquing it, by looking at the underlying tenets of those culture and cultural systems, and then bring forth theories and ideas to dispute them. These people essentially believe they are revolutionaries. They believe they are ideological revolutionaries laboring towards benevolence, when in all reality, they're actually laboring towards the depths of hell, and they're bringing us all down with them.
We'll have to leave it there, and boy, what a fascinating segment. Christian Watson from Color Us United, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
No problem.
We're going to move on after the break with Ted Harvey. You're going to want to stay tuned for this. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I am so happy to be back in the saddle in the Live Free or Die state of New Hampshire live Tuesdays, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. And our next guest is someone who is a staple on the talk radio circuit, happens to be a friend of mine, loved him for years because he's from Colorado, and that's my home state, even though I don't live there anymore. He is chairman of ARYA, sitting down the committee to defeat the president. You can find him at stopjoe.com. And he has a long, long political resume, including having served as a White House staffer under President Ronald Reagan. He doesn't look that old, but, you know, he did. He was a staffer. And he served in the Colorado House of Representatives when I lived there. And Ted Harvey, welcome to Spouting Off New Hampshire. Good to talk to you.
Well, hello again, my friend. It's like it was yesterday that we spoke.
And it was yesterday. I love it. It's like, I don't know, the Maytag repairman or something. I cannot talk to you for a bunch of weeks. And then all of a sudden I talk to you three times in a row because of all the different kinds of shows I do. And I'm blessed, as you just said, on our little feed there. I want to ask you about this. I'm telling you, you are a master, Ted Harvey, of getting earned media. New York Post headline, anti-Biden group targets Kamala Harris, I'm sorry, for BLM riots. Ooh, baby. Talk about this project of yours and the article in the New York Post.
Well, again, thank you for having me on. And, you know, I was just really outraged when I saw the shenanigans that the Democrats were doing to just harass Marjorie Taylor Greene and other Republicans and saying that because they wanted to look into the 2020 elections and see exactly what happened and if there was any fraud that happened in the elections, and for simply because they questioned that and they supported President Trump, that they were responsible for an insurrection against the United States government, and therefore they should not be allowed on the ballot in the 2020 elections. And, you know, that is, I mean, 2022 elections. And that's just ridiculous. Everybody knows it is ridiculous because they didn't do anything. But the Democrats are just harassing them and making them spend money. Well, there were people that actually did encourage an insurrection against our government. And that was with the Black Lives Matter riots that happened in cities all across the country that were attacking elected officials, that were attacking federal buildings, federal courthouses, and throwing Molotov cocktails and breaking in windows. And those people that actually encouraged that was Kamala Harris, then United States Senator, who encouraged the riots and put in place a bail fund to bail out these insurrectionist thugs that were burning down the streets of America, and the FBI didn't go after them. The FBI, the Justice Department didn't go after them, and they also, it was also Maxine Waters. So if the FBI is not going to do their job, if the Justice Department's not going to do their job, MIPAC, the Committee to Defeat the President, is going to make an issue out of it. And we filed cases in every state in the country against Kamala Harris, and we filed a case against Maxine Waters in her congressional district.
That is spectacular. I mean, you are fearless, and that's what you got to be today. Talk about the state of those cases. Where are they? When are we going to hear something on them?
Well, we just filed them yesterday. So they are in, like I said, every state jurisdiction that is that Kamala Harris might be on the ballot. We'll see if any of the attorney general or the district attorneys want to fight us on this. And we took it to the Secretary of State in the state of California because she is the one that will be determining whether Maxine Waters is eligible to be on the ballot or not. We know how that's going to go. What will be interesting is to see how the media handles this, because if you watch the Maxine Waters hearings, MSNBC was there, CNN was there. I think even Fox News had some reporting on it about how this is all about the insurrection against the United States government on January 6th. And will Marjorie Taylor Greene be kept off the ballot and everything? The media was wall to wall on that. Let's see what the media does with this. I bet that for the most part, other than, you know, the New York Post, maybe the Washington Times and Newsmax and America's Voice and radio programs like yours across the country, they might pick it up, but the major networks,
they'll ignore it. Of course they'll ignore it. Right?
Yep.
Forgive me. I mean, we've seen it again and again and again. I mean, how many times do you have to watch a pattern of behavior to know that? So you filed this in every state in the union, 50 states, really? Not 57, yeah. But 50?
Every single state in the union, we filed a lawsuit to keep Kamala Harris off the ballot.
Oh, my. You know who I love? There is a... Attorney General. Is he Attorney General? Yeah, I think he's the Attorney General. I'm still new here. Ken Paxton.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Baby, we like Ken Paxton. I wonder what Ken Paxton's doing, going
to
do.
I know. It'll be interesting to see. Because you see what he did on the border. You see what he did on mandatory vaccinations and
right.
The National Guard and everything. I mean, he's willing to go to war on these kind of things as well. So it'll be interesting to see what he does.
For our listeners, I was remiss. Ken Paxton is Attorney General of Texas. He appears to be a lot more ideologically committed conservative than Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott is being kind of dragged, kicking and screaming to the more conservative side because he's running for re-election. And we surely don't need or want a Governor Beto. Anyway, let me run this past you. Something when I saw that we would be talking about this particular thing, and congratulations, Ted Harvey, on getting this article in the New York Post. When I lived in New York, I've lived in a lot of places. I loved the New York Post, political and otherwise. It was just so much fun to read. I want to bring this to your attention. I don't know if it could be helpful, but I want to get your thoughts. In light of this, what you're talking about, you're pointing out the astonishing hypocrisy of the left in making this daily hay about January 6th, when it wasn't an armed insurrection, and it wasn't an insurrection at all, because they can't point to anybody who was armed on January 6th, except the people the guy who killed Ashley Babbitt. I have a friend, forgive my verbosity here, but I just want to run this past you. There is a friend that I have on frequently whose name is John Zemirak. I think I've had him on this program. He writes eloquently about the tactic of anarcho-tyranny, which simply means anarchy for us, tyranny for you. And he points out that this is a tactic, that they stick it to their enemies, abuse power, and they encourage lawlessness and criminality among their own to intimidate and bully their political foes. What do you think about that? And can that be helpful to you in your quest on this project, which is tremendous?
Well, I think that's exactly what's been going on for the last 7 years, if not longer. But you look at how they attacked Donald Trump in the going into the 2016 election, where they used the FBI and the CIA to do everything they could to undermine his campaign and to go after his campaign people. And they let Hillary Clinton get off with having a homebrew server in her basement that was allowing classified documents to be sent all over the world.
Yes.
And nobody touched her. Right. My brother is a career foreign service officer. He has the highest security clearance that you can get, as high as Hillary Clinton had as the Secretary of State. And I can assure you, if he would have let one classified document get out, he would have been fired day one. If he would have let three, he would have been put in jail. She had 30,000 emails going through her server that could have easily been sent out to our enemies. And she was not touched. It was a white glove treatment, and she went on to run for president of the United States with that kind of corruption in her past. That was the least of the corruption in her past. And yeah, it's the same thing. You know, you look at what they're doing to Donald Trump now, and anybody that supports him now, they're going to attack him and say that they are essentially insurrectionists if they believe that there were problems in the last election. But you look at what the Democrats did in 2016, and every single one of these people were fighting to say they shouldn't certify the elections and voted against certifying the elections on the floor of the House. Yeah. So, you know, what's good for us is fine, and we'll attack you if you're on the wrong side.
That's they don't care if we recognize it, because they're going to do it anyway.
Because they have the media.
Right, right. And many people in government as well. Let's talk about, in our last several minutes, this strategy that you have. That's one of the reasons I cheer you on so much, because I think people are waking up every day. They're not becoming woke. They're waking up every day to the gaslighting, to the absolute incoherence of policy, and the idea that there is a deliberate attack on the people of this country and the principles we hold dear. And I think what it is that they don't know what to do about it. You are have become a master in knowing what to do about it. So you have this organization called the Committee to Defeat the President. Talk about this organization in a little depth, because we have a couple minutes here. Sure. I always rush you, and I don't want to rush you.
Going back to Hillary Clinton, you know, my PAC started as the Stop Hillary PAC. And right. We were the only organization out there that went after Hillary on the Benghazi thing. And it was, we pushed Congress to set up a committee, and they finally set up a committee. And it was that committee that figured out about the homebrew server. I don't believe if it was up to the RNC or if it was up to the Republicans on Capitol Hill, we would have known any of that stuff if it wasn't for our group that was pushing the envelope as hard as we possibly could. And then when Trump won, we were the only group out there that was aggressively pushing the envelope to defend the president, go after the FBI, talk about the hypocrisy of what was going on with the Republicans and the Democrats during the Mueller investigation, and how there was complete proof that there was no collusion. Yet the Mueller investigation continued through the 2018 elections to keep this cloud over the Republicans going into the election. And you know, that's my mandate. It is to go after the media, go after the Democrats, and to hold them accountable for the hypocrisy that they continually exemplify. And if the Democrats are going to continue to give us this kind of ammunition, and the Republican Party is not going to do anything about it, and our members of Congress aren't going to do anything about it, we'll go after them as aggressively as possible. And that's what my plan is.
And they don't. That's the problem. We, you know, law-abiding peasants, which is what I consider myself, and you and me and law-abiding citizens in general do not have have to fight not only the radical left, which controls the Democrat Party, but these turncoat Republicans like Mitch McConnell, who sign away our Second Amendment rights as well. It's a really tough road to hoe, and yet you hoe it.
Well, God bless you. I do have another op-ed out there that's out there that came out this week on Town Hall is praising Mitch McConnell for his efforts to get us a Supreme Court that we have today. And, you know, there are a lot of reasons why Mitch McConnell has given us reason to beat the crap out of him. Oh, excuse me. Shouldn't have said that.
You could say it. But that's not one of the seven dirty words. So go for it. Crap is ours.
With regards to the Supreme Court, in all totality of his entire career in Capitol Hill, the Supreme Court will be the legacy that he will leave America. And I believe that because of the way he handled the nuclear option of lowering the Supreme Court nominations approval from 60 votes to 50 votes based off of the Harry Reid model, and the way he handled the Merrick Garland nomination when Obama had that chance, and then working with Donald Trump, I believe the best president of my lifetime, to appoint three great constitutionalist, textualist judges to the Supreme Court that overturned Roe v. Wade, that defended us and our Second Amendment rights with the New York case and prayer in schools and pushing back against the federal department state that we have in the ruling that came out with the EPA last week. Mm-hmm. I think that will be his legacy. And I believe he and Donald Trump saved the Republic because of their efforts. And we need to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah. I have always watched, when I have watched Mitch McConnell, it's always been clear that he had the kind of passion and ideological clarity when it came to the Supreme Court that he never had on a whole host of other basic potboiler conservative issues, including wearing a rag on your face, including the COVID hoax. All of that, he just seemed to be a mealy mouth on China. Let's not even go there what he is on China. So I think that's a point well taken. We are just about out of time. So one more time, tell everybody how they can find you, follow you. He is worthy of a donation because he puts Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defeat the President. He puts your money where his mouth is. Can I say that?
Well, thank you. It's stopjoe.com is our website. You can follow us at defeat_Joe at on Facebook and on Twitter and on Getter and on Truth Social everywhere.
Great.
It's Committee to Defeat the President. And we're not just going after them with these legal battles. We're also going after them to win congressional seats and U.S. Senate seats. And that costs
money. That's beautiful.
So they can hit the donation.
Ted Harvey, I got to wrap it up. Love you. Keep up the great work. And we'll always be talking to you again. That about does it for us here. A special big warm fuzzy hug to Juan Goud, Art Colvin, and George Russell. Thank you for putting us back on the air. We love you guys. Take care till Thursday. We'll be back live on Thursday.
WSMN.